The next storyteller is she's just a really great great lady. I've come to know her through the Red Canoe Children's Bookstore, which is right down the street from where I live in Great Lauraville. And she's the mother of an adorable little girl, and she also is an amazing businesswoman. She owns the Chameleon Cafe, which is a wonderful restaurant. You should definitely, if you can get a reservation, you should go. It's on Harford Road. Anyway, she's going to tell you a really amazing story, so give it up for Brenda, please.
Shorter. Is that right? I've never used a microphone. Okay. All right. So I was an exchange student in Germany in high school, and I was on a train. And the time I felt the most at home while I was in Germany was when a kid with Down syndrome got on the train. And I suddenly felt at home, felt at ease. I knew what was going on. And this was because I grew up in a residential school for special needs kids in Pennsylvania, out in the country. It's part of a big network, international network of communities that live with special needs kids. And I was born there. My parents lived there. And I lived there basically till I went to college, and with the exception of 1 year, that we took a sabbatical and lived 1 mile away. And my dad still rode his bike and worked there. But I've lived with over 100 different people. We had lots of different international people living there. I mean, it was rare that you ran into an American. And then there was always like 7 to 13 special needs, like retarded kids who lived with us, of Down syndrome, autistic, and I don't know what they were. They were just the people who lived with us, and they were pretty cool. And so the philosophy behind the community is anthroposophy, which is Rudolf Steiner's philosophy, which is also behind the Waldorf School, and behind biodynamic farming, which is getting more press in the wine world. And one of the ideas of anthroposophy is that he puts together Christianity and karma and reincarnation, and they all work cohesively together in his worldview. And this is a little bit important in that one of the beliefs of many of the long-term staff is that just say you die and you go to the spiritual world and you have your moment where your life is reviewed and perhaps you're forgiven for some things by the Christ and what have you, then it will become determined whether you might need to go back and have some new experiences. And just say you were somebody who was super intellectual and just so caught up in your head in the life you're in right now. When you come back, you might end up being a Down syndrome person, a spirit of almost pure love. Someone who, if that is really easy, that will come very easily to you as somebody who's a Down syndrome kid. So this was a belief that kind of carried a lot of the long-term staff, although the 20-some people coming in from Germany or England didn't necessarily adhere to that. But, you know, they always were looking to try and see the higher spirit of all the kids who were there. And anyways, so it was my family, and then, you know, we're 5 kids. There were, most of the time it was 4 because my little brother's 13 years younger than me. And I wanted to just tell you a little bit about what lunch was like. So we had a huge, big, round oak table that sat 17 people. And there was a first bell. And when the first bell rang, if you were outside, you could maybe hear it, or your dad would go on the porch and yell for you all to come in. And everyone would wash their hands and get ready in the living room for lunch. And then the second bell would ring. And that meant everybody would sit down around this big round oak table. And everyone would be pretty quiet, wait for who would say grace. And you never know who was going to start grace. And then suddenly someone would start, "Earth, who gives to us this food?" And everyone would start and sing. And, you know, across the table from you would be somebody drooling. And inevitably, someone would have a seizure during lunch and would suddenly start nodding off. And if it was a bad seizure, you'd reach over and grab their hands and say, "Come back, come back." If it was a slightly little more intense seizure, someone would run off to get the Velita rosemary lotion with its waking properties to bring the person back and start putting it on their face. If it was an even more intense seizure, they would slowly put the person on the floor and wait till they came back. So that was like part of normal life to the point that I hardly even remember it. And, you know, like the factor of people's food coming out of their mouth. I have to have like my friends. I'm like, "So what was it like eating dinner at my house?" "Oh, yeah, that's right." Okay. And lunch would last quite a long time. And we'd often try to get out of it and go and be excused and go play. The other thing, like half of the education that happened at this school was at home, of course. You know, one half was at school and the other half was at home. And I never saw the stuff that went on at school, but of course I saw the stuff that went on at home. And, you know, all the kids needed to learn how to do the dishes, do the vacuuming, all of that stuff. So we kind of got out of a lot of it. I did end up cooking on Saturday mornings, though, for 17 people, and making big pots of spaghetti. And so that was something I knew how to do, cook for 17. But I did not know how to do dishes in a one sink. I knew how to do it in three, but not in one. So anyways, I'm looking at my notes here. We also had a special needs cat called Skippy, and he would go and he couldn't really catch mice. He would go underneath the neighbor's porch and grab the dead ones that were there and bring them back. And Skippy wasn't the only kind of special animal that showed up. There was Helen the pig, who was too cute for anyone to kill. So she lived there, and there's also this turkey that just showed up out of nowhere. And it was like around Thanksgiving, but the turkey shows up. We have no idea where the turkey came from. And the turkey got a name, Cleopatra. And she lived on top of the fire escape at the bottom of the hill next to this house called the Chantry. And right next to that, this guy Costas from Ghana lived there. And he was attached to our house and worked with us up there. And this is a kind of tragic story, but it's also about the turkey. So he cooked this wonderful African meal for us. It was delicious and great. And then there was this swimming pool at the bottom of the hill. None of the houses had air conditioning, so we all went swimming at this thing in the summer. And it's 9 feet deep. You can't see the bottom of it. It's creek fed, and it's got like algae all around the edge and slime. It's fed by the creek, and it's very refreshing, but you can't see the bottom of it. So Costas ended up going swimming after lunch, and he got a cramp and passed away in the swimming pool. And it wasn't enough time to get him out. But anyways, we had this big like blessing of the swimming pool thing afterwards, and people were throwing water with golden cups and having songs and planting trees and all these things, and the turkey showed up. And the turkey just sat there, and we all thought the turkey was sick, or what was wrong with the turkey? Because you could never go up to the turkey and pet the turkey. But as soon as the whole thing was done, the turkey got up and left and had paid her respects. So anyways, now I own a restaurant. Kind of cook the turkeys and the pigs. But it's, in many ways, my life is very similar to my parents' life. We also live above the restaurant, so work and life and work are just completely intertwined. Also have a lot of people coming through in the restaurant. Hi, how are you? Have you been here before? At home. Hi, how are you? What country are you from? How long are you here for? You know, that was my parents' house. So it's in many ways, it's very similar, and I haven't left very far from where I came from.